I wonder what you think of when you think of Jesus and the Christmas story. When you think of probably something that's very familiar to many of us. I'm sure many of us have seen nativities, and many of us, if you've worked in schools, have probably been behind the scenes choreographing and herding children as they get ready to perform a nativity. We're familiar with the story, but I wonder what words come to mind when you think of Jesus and the Christmas story. One of the words that we've not been able to miss this evening is the word king. That he, when he is born, fulfills a promise that he would become an everlasting king. We sang, didn't we, once in royal David's city, stood a lowly cattle shed. Because you see, this king who came into the world of David's line, this king who had been promised from the very beginning, this king who would come and perfectly shepherd his people, was born. But we hear of this king being placed into a manger. Pastor Sebastian read for us earlier on the account from Luke, where it speaks of a few different rulers, Caesar Augustus and the governor Quirinius at the time. We heard in one of our readings of Herod. These were rulers of the time, rulers of the day. But born into a manger and placed into a manger in Bethlehem was a king who would outshine and outlast and outrule them all. But yet this king was born wrapped by his mother in swaddling cloths and placed into a manger because there was no place for them in the inn or the guest room. It is this wonderful picture of God being made low, of God humbling himself for you and for me. It's the wonderful good news of Christmas, is that God makes himself low for our sake. The Apostle Paul would speak of the riches that Christ enjoyed in glory. John's Gospel speaks of the fact that he is the one who made all things. Through him, everything was made. John's Gospel begins. And the one who made all things, the one who enjoyed such immeasurable riches in the heavenly places, became poor. He became poor that we might become rich in him. But in knowing him, we might have all of his riches granted to us. Not material riches, but the riches of knowing Jesus, of knowing God himself, the riches of being reconciled to him. The riches of knowing the peace, the hope, and the joy that there is in Christ Jesus. Riches that outlast every situation in hard times and in good times. Riches which never fail, never crumble, or can never be stolen or destroyed, but riches that are ours in Christ. Because he, the God of all creation, humbled himself, was made low for us. You know, we sang earlier on that great carol that says, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." And there's only one little problem with that first line, is it's an invitation to the faithful. And I don't know about you, but when I look at my own life, when I look at my own relationship with God, I look and I cannot say that I am someone who is perfectly faithful. That invitation to the faithful, I look and I question and I say, is that really for me when I look at my own life? There was a new carol written just a few years ago by Sovereign Grace. It's to exactly the same tune. You'll find this. You can look it up on YouTube. And it's called, "O Come, All You Unfaithful." Let me read some of the lyrics to you. "O come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable. Come, know you are not alone. O come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. O come, bitter and broken, come with fears unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. O come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. Come, see what your God has done." You see, I think sometimes when I hear those words, I can find myself in that carol as the unfaithful one, as a broken one, as the one with unspoken fears, as the weak one. And the good news of Christmas is that God is made low for people like me and for people like you. God is made low, and he comes into this world in order to rescue unfaithful ones, because really he is the only faithful one. He is the only faithful one who comes and does his Father's will perfectly. He is the only faithful one in whom we can be reconciled to God. And the great truth is that when we are united to the faithful one, we too become known as faithful ones. Even though we do not deserve it, even though it is not our faithfulness, united to the faithful one, our Lord Jesus Christ, we can hear and we can sing, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant," because we are united to Christ, united to our Savior, united to the one who came into this world, who became poor, that we might of all of his heavenly riches. Let's pray. Oh, dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christ came into this world. And as the Apostle Paul writes to his dear friend Timothy, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ came into the world to restore us to yourself. And when we see and imagine in our own minds that little child being placed into a manger, we see the extent to which your love and your grace would go to reach out for us, to secure salvation for us, and then to draw us to yourself. Father, we thank you for this great act of mercy and love. And Father, we pray that for each one of us this Christmas, we would know you, and we would know Jesus Christ in whom you sent. And that in knowing Christ, we would know his hope, his joy, his peace, and his love reigning in our lives. Amen.